You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two, Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey Parson, Matt Modica, see what I did there, and all-in kid Jake Seeley. Yep. I'm Greg Sussman. Jake, before we get into the baseball, I want to welcome you to the show. And I knew you were texting me before about how much you disagree with us on the Jets trade, so I wanted to give you an opportunity kind of talk to the people. Tell us your thoughts, buddy.
Yeah, I thought it was a stupid move. I don't even think it's a decent move, honestly, because you're looking at a team, and my biggest question is, you put Kirk Cousins on this team, are they a playoff contender? Absolutely not. And you're telling me that they're going to know who they're getting to get a Kirk Cousins or better? There's a stat put out yesterday that somebody tweeted, there's a 30 to 35% hit rate when it comes to quarterbacks in the first round. Not talking about drafting quarterbacks in general, talking about first round quarterbacks, so it's basically one out of three. Well, if you're drafting where they are at six, you're going to get one out of three guys. So there's only two factors here. The Jets have to have somebody on their board where they have a dramatic drop off from the number two quarterback to number three and believe that they're 100% and right in doing so, because the Browns take whoever at number one. You've been talking about it. I agree with, I don't think the Giants necessarily, I don't think they stay at number two and take a quarterback. So they're kind of thinking that the Giants might do something else. If not, either way, the point is they have to have their board with their quarterbacks the way they know, and they have to be right. We're trusting the organization to be right. We're trusting the organization to hit the one out of three that every organization does. It doesn't matter who you are. It has nothing to do with the Jets. Has nothing to do with the Bills or the Giants or the Browns or whatever it is. It's a 33% hit rate. And the fact is, this team needs several pieces, and number two, like second round picks hit way higher than the quarterbacks who could get drafted in the first round. They hit like 50% of the time, and you just gave up three of them to move up three spots. This is the most idiotic move, in my opinion, for a team that's not even ready to be a playoff contender.
I feel like last week when we was having this conversation about the bust rate of quarterback in first rounds, Jake, you was on the other side of it, like certain teams had to take a quarterback.
No, I've never been on that. We've never even discussed that.
Okay, maybe that was somebody else. Maybe that was the weekend show.
I've said my point is, this is the whole different conversation was, I always have argued that instead of having the Andy Dalton for 15 years, I'd rather go in the draft, bust, and come back in 3 years and try to find my franchise quarterback. That was the argument of signing to Andy Dalton or keeping an Andy Dalton for 15 years or being stuck with a Joe Flacco, is I'd rather not have that guy and be handcuffed to that guy because they're so scared to leave him because they're adequate enough to be a playoff team with him. I'd rather go try and get my franchise quarterback. That was my point, which is a little bit different than what you're talking about, though.
I get what Jake's saying, but as the Bills fan, and I talk about not having a franchise quarterback for so long, and the Jets having a lot of money, I think if you believe in one of these top three quarterbacks to be your guy, I think you got to do it. You got the money to spend. You got to spend money wisely. But I just think it's imperative. Like, for me, the Bills, by any means necessary, franchise quarterback. I think the Jets, by not getting Cousins, have to do it. I understand many holes, but you got to make a move.
Yeah, I have Cousins had my piece earlier. You know what? I understand it's a lot to give up, and you're right, Jake. They're not necessarily a playoff team, but you get that quarterback in place. It doesn't cost anything for 5 years besides draft picks. That's the right start. You need a quarterback before you need anything else. I know you disagree. That's cool. We'll take a break. Let's get into the baseball, though. Everybody was in an auction draft, a famous draft. How'd it go? We'll let you know. Coming up next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman here. alongside Jake Seeley, Corey Parson, and of course Matt Modica. Guys, Tout Wars weekend is here, was here. NFBC weekend was here. And now it's all in the books. We are headed straight on to opening day, which is just like a week and a half away now, which is just remarkable.
It's cold, though.
It's cold outside. Oh, I wore my winter jacket today.
It's too cold to be opening day.
I got pneumonia this weekend. I was, you know.
You be careful with that, Matt.
you gotta be careful with that.
I gotta be healthy.
But if your draft is still coming, I know Matt's going to Vegas this weekend. I have a couple, bunch of drafts this weekend and into next week. I'm checking out the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package, which is available now. And this year's version is new and improved, with more analysis than ever before, including an all-day Slack chat channel, stats, projections, and improved cheat sheet generators. You get your rankings from the top analyst in the business, that's the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, tips from the award winner, Tim McCullough, insights from the Hall of Famer, Scott Angle, and of course, point league rankings from my guy, Michael Florio. Enter code FNTSY at checkout and get your Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package right now. That promo code is FNTSY. So my simple question is to you first, Jake. What did we learn this weekend?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Honestly. No. It's the same stuff that I didn't learn anything from it. It's just I went out there to have a good time and draft my team. It wasn't really anything that I learned from drafting with the other guys or anything like that, because I do my thing. And like, if you guys want to overrate somebody or underrate somebody, in my opinion, seeing people do something at a live draft, which is quote, you know, what they're supposed to be, is everybody supposed to be experts or high-end analysts, whatever you want to call them. I mean, you can watch certain trends and stuff like that and help you learn for maybe for your draft. Like, that's one thing. You can see who is going to be overrated, underrated per your feelings. You know, there's people in the draft where I was just shaking my head and laughing. Anyway, Jose Berrios is a good one, but I already knew Jose Berrios was wildly overrated compared to what I think of him. So you can kind of judge those things, but it's not like, put it this way, you can learn those kind of aspects. It's not anything where I'm going back and saying, oh, I'm going to change my feelings on this guy. The biggest thing I learned from the weekend that didn't have to do with Tout Wars was the fact that Ryan McMahon is probably going to get set down to start the season for the Rockies, which just ticks me off.
One thing, I mean, we kind of knew it going in, but it was reinforced. In the two main events that I did, the 15-team leagues and the NFBC, you just look at the first round, and after Trout and Altuve, how just wide open it is. Like, in one league, Arenado went fourth. In another league, he went ninth. In one league, Trey Turner went third. In another league, he went sixth. I mean, I got Harper at 11th. I got Harper at 7th. The one thing is, I probably need to diversify from Bryce Harper when I get to Vegas, because I have him on the three leagues that I did this weekend.
What did we
see? That's the thing. Yeah. Too. I was going to say real quick on that. That's the real thing too. Is there's no snakes in Tout Wars. Everything's auction. And as much as I'll say two things here, because it's going to sound like, why do you listen to anybody when I first say this? But the problem is watching auctions are tough to learn from.
Because I agree with that.
One position. One player, one strategy can throw the entire auction values out of whack. And the fact is, if you look at the rankings and projections that I have on the website, I have auction values there with those. And what I tell everybody is you can't stick to that and say, well, Jake says 17.3, so that means, you know, if I go to 18, I'm going to lose almost a dollar. If I stay at 17, I gain a little bit of value. And just stick to that and be like, I'm going to stay right at 17. Because if the draft is pushing up a position or a certain value somewhere, you're going to have to adjust in the draft. Perfect example was the Tout head-to-head points, which still skewed a little bit on point scoring. It should have been a little bit different. That's the conversation, Peter, as we continually try to tweak it. But the fact is, it wildly overrated starting pitchers compared to relievers. So starting pitchers, there was four starting pitchers that went for $50 plus, and relievers were going for $2, $3, $4. Like, half the relievers weren't even drafted because there's not a lot of value there. So to go into that draft and look at the values and say, oh, well, maybe I should spend $51 on Chris Sale wouldn't be a smart move.
So I totally agree with them, with that logic, right? Like, looking to an auction value, doing a mock auction, looking at the expert auctions means nothing to me.
Yeah, because everything is different. Every joint is different.
Correct.
You feel what I'm saying? You got inflation, you got keepers involved. Even if it's just like a 15 or a 12-team redraft, every auction is different. League's value play is different, you know what I'm saying? And then a lot of home, you know, you could see a dude go for 46, you know what I'm saying, in the NFBC joint or a Tout Wars joint. And then you get in your home, he might go for 50 because, you know,
yeah, well, sure.
I mean, hometown, also, you know, you could be, you Stanton can go for 50 in New York because cats is on Stanton.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and also the point, too, is like with the Tout, it was OBP, so that kind of skews things differently as well. If you're playing in Roto with average, there is a difference. You know, some players are going to go like Joey Votto, who might go in the second round, or is, say, priced at $30-something dollars versus a $40-something dollar player in OBP. So that's the difference there. And just from my two main event drafts, the difference in, like, pitching's always going to be heavy and go faster than most home leagues or other, like, industry drafts. But just the difference from Saturday to Sunday, I saw the jump on Sunday, how the pushers, like, even, like, the lower-tier guys get pushed up. And you see that. And then you see from the auctions, the auction I did Saturday, Strasburg on Saturday night went for $33 in that auction. In the auction that Corey facilitated yesterday, I believe my boy Andy Saxon got Strasburg for $26. That's, like, awesome. That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is insane. And you see prices go up and prices down, and I agree wholeheartedly with everybody here that you can only take so much away from an auction and what these prices can be. It's the snake drafts, of course, that you're more interested in. It's the major news and notes that come out of baseball, of this past week in baseball, that I wanted to kind of understand here a little bit. And that was Jorge Polanco, for instance, right? That was a huge story that broke yesterday, which was Jorge Polanco suspended 80 games for performance-enhancing drugs. How does this change what's going on in Minnesota, if at all, Jake?
It doesn't really, because there's nobody there to really pick up and replace him with. They might call up the prospect. I can't think of his name.
Nick Gordon, the funny thing, I believe.
Yeah, they just sent him down, too, which is the funny thing. So maybe they call him up early, but they have subpar options on the team that they can platoon with. And I don't know either of their names, and they're not worth knowing either of their names after I've already looked at them yesterday. Just don't even waste your time. There's nothing here to really replace it with. And you look at the fact that maybe when Gordon comes up, that'll be somebody you want to watch in, like, a 15-team league. Maybe he can hit. But the question is going to be, do they wait for Super 2, which is going to push you into May or June, and then all of a sudden Polanco is only now 2-3 weeks away from coming back? So you're kind of caught in this. What's the really? I wouldn't stash Gordon or anything like that. So it's not, if you're like me, I have him in labor, you're boned.
Yeah, it's kind of just an unlucky thing. Okay.
Well, I mean, the one person, if, like, Eduardo Escobar, I mean, what he did last year, I'm not saying he's going to repeat that and stuff, but he would be the one guy that would be somewhat relevant right now in a deeper league, obviously. But, you know, that's the only takeaway I can get.
That'd have to be like 18-team leagues. I have no Escobar's interest.
I mean, look, in a 15-team league, if he's going to play every day and he can put something like he did last year.
Yeah.
Well, that's my question. I don't know that he plays every day. But, if he was, I will agree with you that 15-team league, I just don't know that he's going to play every day.
Yeah, I don't know either, but that, those names came to my mind as well. Also breaking from this past weekend, Jarrell Cotton, who was actually having a pretty nice spring for Oakland, Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. He's done for the year. The entire Oakland rotation is all screwed up. Now they're going back to the past, trying to bring back a Brett Anderson. They brought back Trevor Cahill. But the one name that you need to know, Matt, is
AJ Puck.
There it is.
And look, I understand why he was never breaking camp with them, no matter how good he was doing. But I honestly believe right now he would be the best pitcher on their rotation.
Better than Sean Manaea?
Better than Sean Manaea. I just think he's not that far. Look, there's two guys I wanted to walk away this weekend. I wanted to have one of the two on my team. You can't stash too many guys, but I like to stash at least one pitcher. And it was Walker Buehler or Puck. Buehler's the better guy, but Buehler has, there's more people ahead of him. And they could even bring up a Brock Stewart if they want.
Sure.
Spot start and all that. You look at this A's rotation. Okay, Manaea is the best guy they got right now. You got Graveman, Megden. Those guys can survive. So that's three. After that, Blackburn, come on. That guy does not deserve to be on a major league in a major league rotation. Andrew Triggs, who last season going in, I took some speculative shares. To me, he's more of like a middle reliever type guy. Throw him in a bullpen, you know, put him there. For Puck, the reason I'm willing to stash him is I think he has an easier path to getting on this team. Whatever they got to wait, maybe a month, maybe it's early May or mid-May. As long as his first month in the minors, he's not walking the ballpark and he's very successful, he could be an impact on this year.
Are you in on A.J. Puck, Jake Seeley?
No. I mean, I am in the player, but I'm not drafting him, stashing him right now because I'm going to have to hold the bench. I'm going to have to hold the bench spot for him for again. This the whole Super 2 fact. I got to hold it for 2 months.
Yeah,
I see this. And then what happens if it's the last night? Matt's not wrong in anything he just said. I'm not doing it most of my leagues because you see this happen all the time. AJ Puck gets drafted in the 19th round, the 18th round. And it's all, I'm not going to spend that kind of capital and watch somebody sit on my bench for 2 months. And now if you're drafting holds like Matt plays a ton of, that's a completely different story.
Definitely.
But if you're talking about everybody who's pretty much listening to us, 99% of them are playing in typical seasonal.
And the people that play in Yahoo, they have that NA availability.
Some do.
And that's perfect.
Okay. All right. That's reasonable. Let's take that break. When we come back, a lot more baseball to get to. I also have some more football notes I want to ask you about too, Corey. So let's stick around here. More of FST on FNTSY right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Unfortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find a compatible bone marrow donor within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/FNTSY today and sign up online and register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks, send it back to them, and that is it. You're done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy. And best of all, you can actually save someone's life. For real, quite literally, you can save someone's life. Check out dkms.org/FNTSY today to see how you can help. All right. Jakey, when you were here last weekend, it was awesome, by the way. Man, I want Jake to describe this before I get into baseball. So Jake left Foley's on a Friday evening to come hang out with me and my friends at the bar.
Nice.
And watch me during one of my Survivor games. It was wonderful to actually watch a game with Jake. And Jake saw me in my true element of going out of my mind watching a basketball
game. He didn't see you in the element of when you were up here doing the BFFs and you'd be doing them dances and your hands be going in all kind of different directions.
He saw me running around the table.
Very similar.
What was that experience like for you, Jake?
It was a good time. One that I caught a hell of a lot of flack for because people were like, I can't believe you're leaving us.
Why? It was awesome.
Hang out. No, I know. I agree with you, but I was spending time with everybody. Greg's not at Foley's. I was going to go hang out where Greg was hanging out because I told him I would hang out and watch some basketball with him. Because most of the people at Foley's aren't paying attention to the games anyway. They're just standing there doing shots and drinking and doing all types of dumb things and dancing to music. And I'm talking about a specific few, if you catch my drift. But the point is, it's like, those are the people that literally complained that I was leaving. You're having your good old fine time. It's not me. I'm going to go watch basketball. And then, yeah, I was hanging out with Greg, which felt like, I don't know, it's like a reunion at a college 5 years later. Is what it kind of felt like.
I agree.
It's Greg's a pacer. I found that out. back and forth what's going on, and every shot that's dropping, if he's involved with it, that's what I like to see. I want somebody into the games. Like, as much as Foley's was fun, like, I was actually sitting with Colette, who's much into the games too, but it was just kind of like, oh, that's cool. You know, they're on a run. Or, oh, look, we might get an upset here. With Greg, it's more like what I was saying, like, oh, this is awesome. Look what's going to happen. This is great.
Oh, yeah. So basically, Jake found out I was a pacer because I was literally just running, not even walking. I was running around my table at that point. I wasn't even drinking. Like, I wasn't even drinking anymore. I was just like, I just
Are you and Frank Stanfield still wagering on games?
That hasn't gone well.
ask Frank about that.
Yeah, that hasn't gone well. So I'm with Jake, and all of a sudden, there's literally 10 seconds left in this Tennessee game, and the mother effer misses two free throws. So they're up three with like 10 seconds left. And all of a sudden, Jake just starts tapping my chest. And I wanted to be like, Jake, like, there's 10 seconds left in the game. Like, stop touching me, right? You know, I'm focused on my TV. The TV next to it was a different game. And Jake just keeps tapping me. And I'm just ignoring him. I'm ignoring this whole tapping. So he misses the shot. I start going crazy, pumping my fist, whatever. And Jake's like, I've been trying to tell you for 30 seconds. The TV next to it was 30 seconds ahead. I already knew he missed the shot. You won. I was just trying to get your attention. You already won.
Oh, that's funny. That's good stuff. You was ignoring Jake like you do Judy.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was pointing right at it. He was. I saw you pointing, but I didn't care.
And he's like, and Jake was like, kind of here, you want to sit next to your girlfriend? I'm like, no, you can sit there, please. Please sit in between us. Yeah.
Judy was with y'all?
Judy, yeah, she met us.
She actually came out.
Yeah, so that was the tough part. So she came, she met us like after work, so she met us at like 7 o'clock-ish.
Yeah.
Did she wear her Russell Wilson jersey?
She did not wear her Russell Wilson jersey. But she sat there, and she did not see what was coming. Like, I got there after work here. So I was there, and I was in for the long haul. She did not realize we were going to be there to the end of, like, the Virginia-UMBC game, which ended, like, you know, close to midnight.
She didn't go home?
She stayed.
She was a good soldier, huh?
She was. She got a little restless.
Yeah.
We got that check, and we were breaking that down. She got a little restless and couldn't believe I did it all again on Saturday. But she was a trooper.
Oh, she didn't like the price. She's like how much you spent, huh?
It wasn't no. Because
I got the check
and like I said, I was done drinking pretty early because the day before was
you was hammered already.
Yeah, so that was the day before. So I had wound up like just kind of breaking down the check because like some people really drank more than others. Normally you just split it, whatever.
Yeah, but yeah.
But some people had really drank a lot more than others, so I was kind of breaking it down. And she was doing her.
Is that price a little more pricey? Is that place a little bit more pricey than other places?
No. Not really. I
want to tell Matt and Corey. The feel that I got from the
sure.
place.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is like they're not like judging. It was just I felt like it was everybody from Cornell or Columbia. Like, you know, like this is like, hey, let's go hang out at this college bar. But it's 5 years after you got out of college, where everybody like it looked like that's what it looked like. It looked like 100%. I was in a college bar, but like 5 years after everybody graduated.
Corey, the guy to girl ratio there was not good.
Oh, really? It was a sausage party.
It was not good.
Judy was like one of three women in the
place. Probably so.
Corey, wasn't a lot of people of your ilk there.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. What street was it on?
I told you. It was, I don't know about that, but it was 25th and 7th right here.
25th and 7th. That's
I told Jake 7th and 8th. I meant 6th and 7th.
Yeah, probably a little bit too far downtown.
Is that too far downtown? I mean, just close.
But then again, yeah, I don't know. It was New York City.
Yeah, so
that's
like,
interesting,
it was just a lot of dudes there. Totally agree with
you. They're all on the crew team.
John Hopkins lacrosse. Oh man, good times though. Good times. Hey, listen,
Jake and I had a great time. And I wanted Jake to stay to the later games, but he had to be up early in the morning. He had to
go to Staten Island.
Go to Staten Island.
That was a long day.
Was the trip to Staten Island all right, Jake?
The trip was fine. It's just that was a long ass day.
Yeah.
How was the Staten Island ferry?
I started because I was doing the spreadsheet so I could make the $75. I started at 9 and our draft didn't end until about 9:30. So
jeez, that's a long day staring at spreadsheets.
It really is. And also the food that they offer some decent food, but the problem was they put it in the mascot's dressing room, which is through the bathroom. So you have to like carry your food through the bathroom.
As a germaphobe, it has the gross view.
They covered it with a napkin.
Scott had to walk through the player's bathroom. Scott's like, I feel at home. I'm getting on Scott today and he not here. Yeah. Jake, did you see Scott pitcher in the batting cage?
Oh, I was watching him hit.
You hit.
Oh, yeah. That's what you call hitting. That grip was interesting.
Yeah, because you don't know how to swing a bat. Oh, man.
There's some entertaining people that will watch hit.
Yeah, I wish I'd love that. I would have gone just for that.
Yeah, update. I actually had an apology dropped to me, too. Howard Bender.
No way!
Really?
Because it's very interesting you say this, because you came up to me Friday night, and you were like, he still didn't apologize to me.
Yeah.
And then all changed.
Wow. Yep, changed. We were in the draft room. It was like me, Spoor, him, the Dr. Roto guy that was there for him, and then Andrea Lamont. And he's like, come on, man, let's bury the hatchet. I was like, what hatchet? He goes, exactly. I was like, that's not what I meant. Like, I just meant, like, I was over it. I'm never, like, whatever. He goes, we're good. We're friends. And I said, I wouldn't say that.
this is a day of apologies.
Yeah. He goes, come on, man. We're not good. We're good. And I was like, no. He's like, really? I was like, with an apology. And he goes, I'm sorry, man. And I was like, all right, good. I accept it. I appreciate it.
Hatchet buried. No, I'm sure not. I'm sure that would not do it for you.
But Jake's a bigger man in this.
How about that? So that's great. That's cool.
Yeah.
How did your weekend go, Corey? Speaking of apologies.
New hair bothered in the OT.
that makes sense.
I sent Corey a picture.
Yeah, he certainly did. That's right. Certainly did. It was good times, though. It was a good weekend, good time. So we'll see what's up.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was. It sounds like a really fun weekend. And you're going to go to Vegas this weekend. It's going to be awesome.
Yes. Counting down the hours.
Jake, do you have drafts this weekend?
No.
You're done?
The only thing I'm in is the beat Jake Seeley on over on Scout. And as soon as that's done, I'm toast at this point. I've already done twice as many leagues as I ever wanted to do in baseball.
Are you going on vacation soon?
Yeah, take a vacation.
I feel like you're due for just like a vacation.
That's 7 years in the making.
Just get you a little honey and go to the Caribbean somewhere.
Go to Punta Cana.
Yeah. I blew up my knee walking with no. It's killing me right now. I blew up my knee in Hoboken with Nando.
Always some hard times.
Always with Nando. Every time you're with Nando.
Sorry. Come on out. It'll be fun.
No, no, stay for a drink. We went out.
The next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock.
Correct.
And you're in the middle of Jersey.
I know that.
Going into it. 100%. But it's always good times, though. You got to give a shout out to Nando. Man, we used to. Well, I'm not going to put all our business in the street.
Yeah,
well, I think I have between auctions and drafts. I think I have 7 left.
Oh my God.
7 left! Wow.
Oh, well, we did 3 this weekend, so I think there is a total of 10. It's 9 or 10 between auctions and drafts.
If I had that many, I would just pass them off to somebody else at this point.
Unless somebody's giving me money.
Matt is the professional player. That's what it sounds like.
I have 3 to go.
It's all about the money.
I have 3 to go.
I don't. I have none to go.
I understand.
Yeah.
Listen,
any more auctions?
I got to do at least one.
You're not doing mine. Colette's doing mine.
Huh?
Colette's doing mine.
Jason Colette's doing yours. Yeah. I'm not doing that one. The one that I'm doing this upcoming weekend, that's one of the members, one of the league mates. Was in the original Roto League that they did the 30 for 30 on, like the really started the fantasy baseball, that started fantasy sports. Mm-hmm. He was in that league.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So I gotta do that. I think that's a 10 teamer with keepers in it. So it's like fly through that joint. You feel what I'm saying?
Here, Matt, I got one for you in an auction. As of today, Schwarber at 8 or Cespedes at 8?
Wow.
At $8?
Yeah.
I really like Schwarber, but yeah.
See, that's like I already had Schwarber like sitting there at the table, and just it's like I want to go higher on Cespedes, but at this point, it's kind of like,
I mean, I probably have to say Cespedes, but my mind's saying Schwarber. Cespedes has done it. I gotta go in.
Let's talk some more baseball, some football.
That is a good one.
Still a potpourri for the next half hour, so let's all hang out. We're sticking around. FST and FTSY rock on right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
With you on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Do you love watching your fantasy player score a winning touchdown? Now imagine you actually have to call that touchdown play. The Fan Controlled Fantasy Football League is putting play calling in the hands of fans, with real professional football players running the action. From drafting rosters to voting on trades, the FCFL fan is one part coach, one part GM, and one part owner. This is all done through the fan token. Fans earn fan tokens each time their vote yields a successful outcome. The more fan tokens a fan earns, the greater power is attributed to their future votes. Visit FCFL.io to learn more about how you can take control. All right, when it comes to baseball, let me get to a couple of notes here. First, Luke Gregerson once again, Matt, the closer in St. Louis, so it seems, returned to the mound, pitched the 9th inning, 1-2-3, bing, bang, boom. How safe do you feel about drafting Luke Gregerson?
I don't feel that safe about him. I think he's always had the good skills. Leone's, they've given him some opportunities. He's nailed down like 3 of them this spring. I don't think he's really a closer as well. I think they're going to try and get by with this for the first month or two, see how it goes, and I would think maybe an Alex Colome or a Greg Holland, whatever time the compensation passes for him, could possibly be, or even a trade elsewhere. I don't think Gregerson or Leone or anybody on the roster now is the guy that is going to have the most saves end of season.
All right, so there you go. Jake, we had an injury scare with Jose Ramirez over the weekend. Hurt his ankle, is supposed to return to the lineup today. Jose Ramirez is awesome. That is all.
Yeah, Jose Ramirez is awesome. And you can play him a second or third.
Yes, you can. And now this is one for Matt and Jake. Mets luck has struck again really quickly.
What happened now?
Do you know they signed, overpaid for this dude, Jason Vargas?
Like, yeah,
way
yeah,
too
I
much
heard
money?
About that.
Yeah, you heard about that, right? He's hurt.
Already,
yeah. He hurt his non-throwing hand.
Or at least he's
whatever.
Yeah,
you put a glove on it.
Yeah, he'd be fine.
You put a glove on it, you're fine. But the doctors recommend that he have surgery on it. So Jason Vargas will probably hit the DL to start the year. But the good news
is... it's only one start.
Potentially. But the good news is, one turn through the rotation, we may have the Fab Five finally do it. In Syndergaard, DeGrom, Harvey, Wheeler, and Matt all at one time taking a turn through the rotation.
For the first time ever?
First time ever.
I just hope that Syndergaard and DeGrom are healthy this season. I just want Harvey to be... He's never going to be the Matt Harvey of old. Just hopefully...
The Matt Harvey of old was...
He could be something of a major league pitcher again.
See, the thing about the Matt Harvey of old, he was the Matt Harvey of old for like 2 months. Happy Harvey Day. He'd go out and give up 15 runs.
Fantasy Jack, there was some hate in this.
Yeah, morning. I am hating on the Mets fans this morning because it's that time of year to hate on the Mets, which is always fun.
I just, like I said, I mean, it's a shame when, look, the injuries and stuff, at least 2015, he came back and he had a really good season and there was hope. But then after that, it's all gone by the wayside. And, you know, I don't know if he can ever really be something. It's worth a shot where he goes and drafts, you know, to speculate on. You can always cut him quick if, you know, there's nothing there, which could possibly be. Or, you know, maybe he's something better than we think right now. But, you know, just the Mets in general. That Vargas was a terrible signing. It's like I say, anybody can spend money. It's how you spend that money.
It's absolutely true. They spent money. They spent money this year.
And I don't like the money that
they spent. I don't like the money they spent either. It was not exactly well spent. I will very much agree with that. All right.
Yo, right quick, y'all. The Lions are going to win the Super Bowl next year.
Lions?
Yep.
Why is that?
With Frank Gore? Did they sign Frank Gore?
Nope.
No, it's not Garrett Blunt.
Oh, yeah. They signed LeGarrette Blunt. So they are going to win the Super Bowl.
By the way, Terrell Pryor.
LeGarrette Blunt will have 3 Super Bowl rings.
Did Jeremy
Tony
Hill,
Romo don't got none. Official?
He's on the Patriots.
Yeah, okay,
Jeremy Hill. So, all right. So Jeremy Hill goes to the Patriots. LeGarrette Blunt heads on over to Detroit. Your boy, Jake, Terrell Pryor, visiting the Seahawks today. And then, if he gets out of Seattle, is going to visit the Jets next?
I think both of those are interesting. And the biggest thing that I've completely said is that, or continually said, is the fact that Terrell Pryor needs to be allowed to freelance more. If he can go out there and just find ways to get open instead of doing what the Redskins tried to ask him to do, and is to run precise routes, to be on spots, to be on timing routes, and be where he needed to be. The problem is we seemingly forgot after the 1 year with the Cleveland Browns that, hey, this is a guy that still was learning the position, still hasn't fully learned the position, and still doesn't know how to run routes. What a surprise that he struggles when you put him in office. Like, my biggest thing is we all kind of knew that, at least to some degree, some more than others. My biggest the part that's really concerning me is the fact that the Redskins brought him in, and they know it more than anybody else, that was their offense. That all being said, now if he can go to a team where you have Russell Wilson, who extends plays, does like to look to get things where receivers break out on their own, something like that, maybe with the Jets, depending on also who the Jets draft for their quarterback of the future, I think he's more intriguing. I'd rather see him in Seattle because of that than with the Jets, so it's a question mark at the quarterback position. But I think he'll have some rebound value. He's not going to be top 20, 15, but he could get back to being a wide receiver 3.
I think what Jake said about Seattle, I think Seattle is like a perfect way to
I agree.
For him.
I
you have Baldwin, agree. you have the number one there. You have a guy that can open it up and buy extending the play, as Jake said, buying the time. It seems like a really good fit.
I agree. I think it's an awesome fit. I really like that fit in Seattle, Terrell Pryor there. A couple of other football notes here. The Honey Badger, now a member of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they keep adding some good young talent to that team. So Tyrann Mathieu, he gets his number. He goes to the Houston Texans. Exciting organization right now. Well, you know, on the field, you know what I'm saying? But so that's, he should be happy about that. He get to get out there in Houston, get a little bit stronger on that defense. So I like Houston. I think Houston's going to be solid.
It's always a fun nickname to say.
The Honey Badger, yeah. I wonder why they call him the Honey Badger.
Because they don't care.
No, that's not it. It's because the Honey Badger, what's the line? Oh, I forget what the line is now.
Yeah, the Honey Badger don't give a damn.
They don't care. That's what screwed me up. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jeremy Hill headed to the Patriots, as you mentioned. Cordero Patterson also headed to the Patriots.
Speaking of not caring.
Is that a move for, like, special teams?
I think it's probably a special teams move.
Then I think it's fine.
Yeah, it's probably a special teams move right there to bring in Cordero Patterson, kick the tires on him, see who he got. He get up there and be a part of that culture, the Patriot way. Whatever.
Yeah, let's look at a special team in a day and age where kicks don't even get returned anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, Belichick is looking for an advantage wherever he can. I respect it.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't have a problem if it's for that, you know. When you do have that opportunity, look, if he's able to return a couple of kicks, it could be a difference in a game or two here.
Absolutely. As expected, Corey Michael Crabtree headed to Baltimore.
Yep, Michael Crabtree spurns the Dallas Cowboys, go to Baltimore. And now
did the Cowboys actually talk to him or what?
Well, they said they inquired, but I don't think so.
I just feel bad for
Ryan. Yeah, they said, hey, can you come here for $50? Because we don't have
any. He said, we give you $50 and we'll let you borrow Jerry's suite one game.
Really?
And
he was like, what? Bobby Bonilla contract.
Yeah, Bobby Bonilla contract might have done it. Yeah.
So now he plays member of the Baltimore Ravens. So him and Joe Flacco will be out there. He can catch he'll have games where he catch 8 passes for 13 yards.
Perfect.
And 2 touchdowns.
And 2 touchdowns.
Hey, he'll be a glory in PPR.
Yeah, no, he would.
E-Drop is visiting the Colts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, E-Drop is very confusing.
That is very funny, though.
That's Eric Ebron for those.
Yes.
Yeah.
Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
E-Double.
By the way, so this story just came out, and it was confirmed by an FAU trustee that Lane Kiffin, in his bracket, picked UMBC over Virginia.
Wow.
How about that? Mm-hmm. All right, you seem very interested. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Like the Honey Badger.
George W. have Texas A&M winning at all?
He might have. It makes sense, though. Like, I understand that one. Yeah. Matt, I want to give you 30 seconds to a minute or so. Talk about your boy. He's had a really nice season. I believe he's starting opening day now or close to it for Toronto. How good could Jay Happ be this year?
Look, I think Jay Happ is perfect fantasy guy for the back of your rotation. He doesn't get enough credit. The last 3 seasons, I believe it is. I mean, the innings have been, it's not 200 innings before you're getting him. I think he's got over 500 innings. It's a 3.5 ERA. He's one of 14 pitchers to have a 3.50 ERA, a K9 over 8, a walks per 9, 2.7 or less. That's pretty damn good for where you get him. Nobody wants him in a 15-teamer. He goes anywhere from like the 15th round and on. So I took him in the Saturday main event with Andy Saxon on Sunday. I think Vaccaro thought I was taking him. I went with Dilson Lament. I wanted to go with the upside. I wanted to change it up a little. So I like Happ. I think, you know, those are arms you got to target. To me, he's like Irvin Santana of last year. You get these guys, yeah. They're not going to be foundation pieces, but they're just solid arms.
Put it this way, Greg, I would throw back my your Joe Musgrove for $2 if I could have Jay Happ for $2. This is what he ended up going for.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take that.
Greg wouldn't even pay $2 for Joe Musgrove.
No, I would not. I'll pay $2 for Jay Happ though. Maybe he's in Toronto. He's in Canada. That's fine.
Yeah, but look, I mean, even
you're like a scorned lover.
Yeah. and terrible, which could very well be. He can get traded to a contender, sure, and stuff like that. So it'll be even better for him.
Someone say we're all scoring lovers, Corey.
At some point we are.
Yeah. By the way, before we hit the break, I want to say this. Dan Patrick has just said on the Dan Patrick Show that the Bills have contacted the Browns about the number 1 overall pick in the draft.
It just makes so much sense.
We'll see if they can get it done, Matt. We'll see.
You know what? Funny. 2 minutes ago, he said he wasn't interested in moving up.
It's amazing how things change.
I'm interested.
I know you're interested in moving up.
I don't know about being, but I am.
I know you are. We'll see it. The NFL draft, still a month away. A lot can change in that time. Let's take a break. We will wrap
I'm taking
it
a break
all
too.
Up. Oh, I know. You've been breaking for the last hour. FST on FATSY. We continue right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
All right, coming up next, OT here, all the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Jakey. Couple of baseball points I want to get to. Some I want to actually save for tomorrow when I have you and Matt together to talk about them. But this kind of came up. We were talking about the Mets earlier, so I want to throw it at you. Not that I ever want to be injury optimistic when it comes to the Mets. Michael Conforto certainly seems to be making, you know, a lot of productive progress here, right? Like, he's supposed to be ready on May 1st. I don't even care if he's ready opening day or not, but minor league games, maybe even a Grapefruit League game next week is possible. You know, even if May 1st is the outcome, that if I know he's back May 1st, where should I be taking Michael Conforto in drafts?
Here's the problem is forget the injury optimism, because let's say the question where you're setting up and say, let's say he's back May 1st,
sure,
is not even really my concern.
Okay.
My concern is the Mets as a whole. And my concern is what they have in their outfield now, where Conforto is kind of miscast as a center fielder defensively, yeah, because they re-signed Jay Bruce and they have Cespedes, and you have Brandon Nimmo, who's been playing really well.
Yes.
And so now my concern is if everybody's healthy, well, there's your injury optimism again. Does Conforto get every day at bats like he should? Because this is the same team that's also kind of pulled the Schwarber on him and not let him always hit against lefties. He can hit lefties, unlike Schwarber, although Schwarber's finally starting to change this spring, as we're seeing. The fact is, do they go back to that? Do they start screwing around with him again? And then he sits and it's Nimmo, and one day Cespedes is sitting, and all of a sudden this turns into the Cincinnati Reds, where you have three outfielders sharing time, or the Colorado Rockies, and you don't ever get any of them playing 150 games. So that's kind of a little bit more of my concern than anything. But that being said, if I knew he was going to go back in May 1st, and going back to the Conforto where he's playing every day, it doesn't matter. The other three are the ones that are rotating. He's the one that's locked in. I would say then, at that point, you got to draft him around the Acuna spot, because Acuna, you're drafting, assuming he's going to be down for 3 or 4 weeks and the minors will come right back. He should be probably slightly in front of him by about a round. So now we're talking fifth round or so.
I do want to, that's very, very early, of course, at fifth round or so. A lot of injury optimism there, obviously.
You're right. That's hell of a lot.
Hell of a lot, exactly. But I do want to interrupt you here, Jake. I had another baseball question, but I got to interrupt you for some breaking basketball news. Yeah, Tyronn Lue has taken a leave of absence as head coach because of health issues with the Cleveland Cavaliers, which means Larry Drew will be the new head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Listen, he has actually been going through health issues, Ty Lue. That's been well reported. According to Woj, he's been considering this option for several weeks and has resisted. And now it is official. Tyronn Lue is officially taking a leave of absence as the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Larry Drew takes over as coach. Any thoughts there, Jake?
No, I don't know enough about either one of them. Coaching style. My only thoughts are hopefully for Tyronn Lue, he gets healthy. That's all I care about.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry Drew, his son, of course, plays for the New Orleans Pelicans, just signed a 10-day contract with them late last week. So it's been certainly a good weekend for father and son. Not that they ever want to shed light on Ty Lue as personal issues, but you know, Larry Drew, now the head coach, for now, of LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. As Tyronn Lue steps away, Larry Drew, once again, the head coach there. We're going to wrap up the program tonight, today, with this question. Starling Marte has been on fire. I know you're in on Starling Marte. How good can he be, Jake?
He could be, let's see where I have him. He could be what I've been saying, as people seemingly forgot the guy can steal 40 bases, and there's only so many that could do it. Number 9 outfielder. That's how good he could be. He could be the top 7, even, potentially.
There you go. Starling Marte, which you're getting a little bit later on. He had the suspension last year. People forget that he has the ability to steal 40 bases. He could be a top 10 outfielder, top 7 even, potentially, if all goes right, according to the All-In Kid. When we come back, it's FST OT with Corey Parson, Jake Seeley, and Matt Modica. I'm sure Corey will have more thoughts on Tyronn Lue. We got some baseball notes, some NFL notes as well, according to all about the week as well. It's all about the weekend this past week. I'll see you a little bit later on for the BFFs. Have a fantastic rest of your day, everybody.